You're listening to a sermon by Henry Neufeld recorded on Sunday, June 26, 2022, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speakers are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Thank you, Carl. I goofed, which is not new to me. I omitted one passage that I wanted read, so I will read it from 1 Corinthians 11. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything is in it. I find the Bible to be a very valuable resource and sometimes a bit of a confusing text. It tells, among other things, a story of a tribe, of a people. It's a collection of 66 books or so, depending how your counting is going, divided into a couple of sections. It's a body of literature assembled over many years. It accounts for the good, the bad, and the ugly of a tribe. Now, in my view, there are too many writers with too many opinions about how people should live, and they don't always agree. There's the Old Testament with Jewish laws telling people what they can eat and what kind of clothes to wear, and about not selling their land because it belongs to God, and about not trimming your beard, which I do periodically. About these Old Testament laws, and if you want to pursue them in greater detail, check Leviticus 19. Paul says, when the Lord talks about a new agreement, he means that the first one is out of date, and anything that is old and useless will soon disappear. So much for the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus provides instructions about living that go beyond the Old Testament law. Jesus said on several occasions, "You have heard that it has been said, but I say unto you." And he rephrased the Old Testament laws, often making them more difficult, as in, love your enemies, and the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. He said he came to fulfill the law. There's a lot of scriptural direction in the Bible, and one can pick and choose what appeals. Our Anabaptist ancestors said that all scripture must be examined through the teachings of Jesus, as he is our final authority, not scripture. So, which laws do we follow? I'm reminded of my late brother who preached a sermon entitled, "Do You Know What You Are Reading?" It tells of Philip's encounter with an Ethiopian official who was reading from the book of Isaiah. Philip asks him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Now, that's a question that could be asked of all of us when we read scripture. For instance, in Romans 14, Peterson writes, "Welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. And don't jump over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with. Even when it seems that they are strong on opinions, but weak in the faith department. Remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently." Other translations put it slightly differently. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Except the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. Now that phrase from Peterson, welcome with open arms, fellow believers who don't see things the way you do, really hit me when I came upon it some time back. Because I think I can tolerate people I don't agree with. But to greet them with a hug is going too far. People I don't get along with, well, I prefer to allow my resentment to fester for a while. Sometimes I even enjoy it. But hugging anti-vaxxers, maybe that's going too far. No, maybe hugging is a metaphor, or greeting them with open arms is a metaphor. But I decided to read Romans more carefully and see if I could find an explanation. Why did Paul say this? Who was he speaking to? And what corrective measures did he suggest? First thing that struck me was that this is a letter to one church that had problems. They wrote Paul for advice. It's like seeking advice from your conference leader, your bishop. Paul says, without quarreling over disputable matters, like food and drinks. He talks about eating or drinking. Well, we could spend days arguing over what is disputable today. Church history is littered with congregational divisions over disputable issues. And saying, welcome with open arms, fellow believers that don't see things you do, Paul's instruction was given to one church and their situation. It was not a general rule for everyone for all time. It does not apply to every situation. It's direction for a specific problem, and it tells us how people in a congregation should interact. So what struck me there was that some of Jesus' directions were given to individuals. They're not general principles for everyone. We have a tendency with scripture to pick and choose a few verses, and those become our guiding light. Take the topic of salvation. For Nicodemus, salvation meant he needed to be born again, or to be born from above. For the rich young man, salvation meant getting rid of his wealth to help the poor. For Zacchaeus, it meant repaying people he had cheated as a tax collector and repaying them fourfold. So, what does salvation mean for you? That's probably a question that we should all be asked. What specifically are you saved from? And don't say from a life of sin. Because in these three examples, it was all very specific. Some instructions are broadly given and deserve wide application, as in the Sermon on the Mount. These apply to all his followers. And Jesus has directions for individuals that don't necessarily apply to everyone. This is, for me, an important distinction. When they read the Bible, it's important to ask, why was this written? To whom was it written? What problem was it intended to solve? Does it apply to all people forever or only to specific individuals? This distinction helped me when I read what Paul wrote about women speaking in church. What problem was that intended to solve? Well, it's too bad. We don't know. We don't know what the women are doing that was disruptive and why Paul responded as he did. So we often use the Bible as a rule book to justify something, but we face many situations not covered by a book written thousands of years ago. We also like simple formulas, like, you must be born again. Now, the direction to be born again has an exaggerated simplicity that has become standard for many churches. It was Mark Greenstreet in a sermon in our church many years ago who pointed out that being born again was instructions to one person, not to a whole environment. Jesus never asked a rich young ruler or Zacchaeus to be born again. And he pronounced them saved if they would do what they had said they would do. He never asked the disciples to be born again. So in Scripture, there are specific instructions to individuals or to churches. And there are general teachings about life that apply to everyone. And the Sermon on the Mount is probably the best example. It summarizes Jesus' teachings rather well. Now, the religious leaders of Jesus' day were not happy about what Jesus was saying. He was a threat to them. And one of them posed a question to try and trap Jesus. He asked, which command in God's law is the most important? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list. There is a second set alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. These two commands are pegs. Everything in God's law and prophets hangs from them. Thank you.